There's a fortune waiting for you, Bull, in the building trade. Painting and decorating.
Aye, even in wartime, you'd be surprised.
Beautiful workmanship. And neither of you ever built a thing, you see, before coming to these parts?
Well?
A paradise. After North Africa, it's a new world in heaven.
Ray, what happened? What do you think?
Oh, Sylvie, what a time I've wasted. Trying to shoot Germans in all the sand that's
forgotten. Ray, please answer me, will you? What's the matter with Charles?
The matter? There's nothing the matter with him. He knows that, and so do you. I've told him to get out of bed and carry on looking for his deer or wherever they are. Get off his back and put on his hat and take up his crayons and pencils and notebooks and go into all that gorgeous heather. I think if we're lucky, we might see him for lunch. There's nothing at all the matter with him.
The mountains of the Aruse country, Ethiopia. The Woodleys lived in a six-roomed cabin, fashioned from a wood known locally as Asala. The trees that provide this wood grow at a high altitude, on the mountain slopes of that beautiful country that was once Abyssinia. Charles Woodley was devoting what he believed to be the last months of his life to correlating all there was to discover about the Abyssinian bushbuck, or Mountain Niala, known in Urusi as Chedenza. The Edinburgh-born doctor was not quite honest when he told the wife that there was nothing wrong with her husband. He had met men before who were determined to die.
Beyond Midnight.
Doctor, not a psychologist.
Psychologist?
The most lovely thing in the world, a good hot cup of tea. Oh, don't look like that. There's nothing wrong with your head shrinkers, and no stigma attached to consulting one of them. I just don't belong to the ranks, that's all.
What am I supposed to say to that, May? I thought and thought before I suggested you come all this way.
I'd have crawled here, Gelly. What else can a man do when his oldest friends write to him saying Charles believes he's dying and won't see a doctor? And after all, I've a problem or two in that category myself.
Oh, Ray, darling, Ray, it was a terrible courage.
Ah, I haven't come all those miles to talk about my problems.
Jim Crawthorne posted on your letter to us from Dar es Salaam. It was like an answer to a prayer when you said...
I know. You said so.
Oh, I told you, didn't I? Of course. How long has Jim been consul now in Dar? I remember him taking up the appointment. How time flies. We're all growing old.
Now, stop playing the hostess and being gay, Sylvie. You don't have to pretend to me. We've known each other for too long. You better tell me more.
I don't know that there's much more to tell. I couldn't think of anything else to do, Ray. I thought there must be someone. Well, then I said, Ray, like in the old times, like years ago, when you always seemed to have an answer to everything.
Answer to everything? Some questions were written and meant not to have answers.
You're the only one who can help him. You know that, don't you?
No. The only one who can help Charles is Charles.
You were in there a long time talking to him. Did he tell you everything? All of it? You're lying there for hours. He's been like this for nearly a month now. Sometimes he goes for a walk into the heather, comes back again, hardly eats, doesn't talk, not much. He's quiet and loving, but resigned. I mean, I know why. I know why he is as he is, but what can I do?
You'd think an old man so full of shrapnel that he rattles can do anything.
I feel so ashamed asking all these hundreds of miles. I nearly didn't say
that. Isn't it natural I'd want to see my oldest and best friend before I die? Ah, don't look like that. I shall die. There's a reason for it. There's no operation possible. A matter of time. So don't put on your mournful face. Have you a little more tea?
Ray, why? I mean, I don't understand. They can't be sure. No operation. Why?
I didn't come here to discuss why I'm sick and poorly. I've had a long life and a happy one. I've no regrets. Except perhaps that I never married someone like you. You could never control a blush, could you?
Oh,
Up till 2 minutes ago, I was under the impression I traveled here to try and help you, too, if I could.
Did he tell you what happened in Tanganyika 5 years ago?
Sketchily. I told him to get up off his bed and fill in the details. He said he had work to do in his notes about a blasted deer.
Well, it's very rare, the bushbuck.
Rare? So is his disease rare. Especially amongst your non-superstitious Anglo-Saxons, it's called opting out. Opting out of life. It shouldn't be allowed amongst civilized folk.
Please, please, Ray, don't be angry.
I am angry. I can't not be. I said to him in there, you know what I said? I said, all right, die, you scoundrel. See if I care.
Ray.
Give me your life. I'm in need of it. But men aren't allowed to change over bodies. He told me about someone called Nkara.
Nkara. And the other one, the brother. He was the terrible one. Abdullah Mukulu. It would have been all right, perhaps, if it hadn't been for...
Do you believe, then? In all this tough nonsense?
Yes. Yes. He's made me believe.
I've known men. I've seen men like this. It's suicide, that's what it is. It's wishing yourself to death, no more, no less. Do you think if old Rommel himself had risen out of the sand while I was lying there full of bullets and splinters, do you think if he'd jumped there and said, Raymond Park, you're going to die, not from my boy's guns, but of the curse I'm about to put on you, do you think I'd have given a tinker... Do you think I'd have given 2 hoots? I'd have given him a shot up
his
back.
He's not like you. He's lived in Africa for 30 years. He believes in Nkara's curse.
Nkara's curse?
Yes, Nkara's curse. And so do I believe. And I'm frightened, too. There's only 3 weeks to go. 3 weeks to the day.
He had been cursed. Nearly 5 years before, 1938. He was shooting elephants in Tanganyika. He made a personal fortune from ivory. It was a certain bull with heavy tusks, a certain perfect shot, that was responsible for the feasting and the music, the gaiety, and the cursing. It was June, Saomi, the Moshi district. The bull with the great ivory had been downed. The Bwana Woodley had been successful again.
Thunder. We need a bull with tusks that weight every month.
Oh, a record, Charles. The record.
No, not the record, but darn near it. Oh, we failed by only a few pounds. In fact, that left tusk. Oh, it's so near. what does it matter? What does it matter? You know what that ivory is going to bring us.
Do you?
What do you say to a holiday in Europe?
Oh,
Paris, Rome.
Bwana. Huh? There is a man come. Promoshi come to see you. He speak with a bad Ulibi of you, my master. I would have killed him, but you have said this night is to be a night of much happiness, no matter.
What? Bala, what is this? Why aren't you drunk, eh? You ought to be drunk.
There is a man, he comes from Moshi. There is much that is in his eyes that is not good. He spits much, and he talks of a big bull. When the eating is over, when the women have gone, and there is no more drinking, if you so wish, I will kill him. I will cut out his wicked...
You won't cut out his wicked anything. Now bring him here. If you're tired, darling, go and sleep. Go on, what are you waiting for? We'll get the ivory from last month down to the Dow within a week. I'll hope to allow the new stuff to go by train now. Imagine where we'd be if some clever beggar whipped it, ivory like that.
Sometimes I think how nice it would be if we could take the ivory from the elephants and still leave them alive. Who is this come? Someone for a job or something, Job? Why did Sabala say he wanted to kill him? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the elephants could grow another set of feet like children?
You little idiot. Lovely one.
Bwana, this is the man. Makara Bwana.
Blast, what the...
Please do remember, Papa has spoken. He will be of service within an hour at the end of the feast. He is prepared to kill...
And I'm prepared to give a kick up the pants. Now, show off your riprap. Makara, Well, who are you when you're at home? If it's a job you want, I shan't be taking on any affair.
I'm Nkara.
Yes, I... Nkara. Anything to do with Abdullah?
I am brother to Abdullah.
Oh, are you?
Charles.
Well, what do you want? You can tell your stinking brother he's the son of the lowest hyena that ever pillaged the dustbins of Munchie Township. You can tell him that if he ever comes crawling around my labor again...
Oh, please,
now,
leave it.
It, Sylvia. Did you get that? Tell him I'll have his guts for garters if he shows his ugly face anywhere near me again. Understand? Now, what do you want, huh? I'm busy.
I wish the mem sahib no harm.
That's
I
nice
wish
of
to
you.
Speak
if
alone
you like...
with the man who insults so much my brother. I wish to speak alone with the man who kills the great bull.
Love, is it all right? He looks awful.
The bow was 10 yards away with the biggest panger you ever saw. All I need to do is shut.
Well, then they can talk too long.
Bet I won't. Well, what do you want, you old sinner?
You have insulted my family.
Yes, that's right. You're all useless. Your brother I know about. Now I see that you're a chip off the old block, too. Well, come on, what do you want? I've got to be referee at some fertility right at 12 o'clock.
Today you kill with bullets the bull of Elaza.
Bull of what, old son?
The protector, the god of all the elephants. The bull who traveled down the great river to provide my people with plenty. You take life from the bull of Haza, and in the name of my people I am bound to deliver the curse of the bull of Haza.
Really? Okay, tough.
In the name
now,
of the bull of Haza.
Don't you threaten me, chum. Now get out of here. Or by thunder, tomorrow you'll end up with your head kicked in like as not. Since when has the god of the Mulasar been an elephant anyway?
Since our prince, he speaks so many generations ago. Since the great bull flowed down the Nile River from Elaza on a boat of reeds. You will die a bad death in 5 years from this night. 5 years.
Get away from here.
5 years.
Shut your mouth! Now get away from here. Any more rubbish about curses, and I'll have you flogged.
In 5 year time, you will die. The bulls say you must die. The white man is to die for the death of the bulls.
Get out! And move fast. At dawn, I'm going to send out a dozen of my men. I shall ask them to bring you back, dead or alive. And if they catch you then, I can assure you, chum, you pray to all your ancient gods that you die at once.
The white man believes he is greater than the dead. The white man, he thinks he is so great that my ancestors in the shades cannot harm him. The white man
is born with you, mister. Now, shut up.
The white man does not believe in the power of the dead.
What? I don't know.
Then why do I see fear in the white man's eyes?
You dare to say such a thing to me?
Fear. Fear in the white man's eyes. It shines brighter than the sun.
Right now, if ever you or your hyena of a brother comes to my camp again,
don't put Bala, leave him!
You'll be a long way by dawn. And after that, don't stop traveling for a week. Otherwise, my men will bring you in and I'll have you hanged. You hear? Now move!
Charles? Who was he, that man? What did he want?
No, nothing. He. I told him I wasn't taking on any more people, that's all.
Well, I heard you shout.
Shouting? Well, there was so much din out there, I had to shout.
What's wrong, Charles? Something's wrong.
Nothing's wrong.
The women are going to begin their dance. It's just on midnight.
I don't feel like watching any dance, Sylvia.
Oh, but Charles, you promised. You know that they want you to come.
I can go on wanting. I'm going to bed.
Can I get you some whiskey, Ray? You always liked whiskey.
That was when? 1938.
June the 17th. He told me what happened the next day. Oh, he made light of it. It was a lot of rubbish. But I knew he was frightened. Even then I knew he was frightened. Oh, and he was angry, too. He knew he oughtn't to be frightened. June the 17th. I forgot the date. At least I tried to, but... Every year since then, in June...
Kara would have known there was war coming. It didn't necessarily require his guts to kill a man. Perhaps he was banking on Charles being called up, fighting. He might even have served out here, Mussolini.
I don't know. The first 2 years, we joked about it. Charles remembered the days. two people pretending to suddenly remember when it had been at the back of our minds all the time. Now it's the fifth year. May the 28th, 1943.
Seems to me you've got to get the 17th of next month over and done with, and then you can begin to live again. When nothing happens, you'll feel free again.
If nothing happens, we'll...
I said, when nothing happens.
I know, I know. Ray, do you know why we came up here? Up into the mountains? Originally, I mean. I mean, Charles has always had this thing about the study of the Buck family, and there are some rarities up here, but we really came here because there aren't any elephant up here. That's silly.
Hmm. If you have a whiskey, it would go down really well, Sylvie.
Of course. I remembered you, see. You always liked whiskey.
Scotch, mind you. None of your Irish bog water or that American muck. Sylvie, the curse was lifted. He told
me. All the witch doctors had a grand smelling out, a great washing and forgiveness ceremony. Charles said he'd cursed Makara too, you see, in retaliation. I mean, that didn't matter. Ray, there's no ice at the moment.
I never take ice. American habit. You should remember that.
But you have some water.
Water, yeah, none of your icebergs. Well, smelling out.
They used to gather every so often, prove their powers sort of thing, and have these forgiveness ceremonies.
Huh, a grand way of getting over the fact that the majority of the victims were as well on the day the curse had run out as when the whole thing started. Face-saving.
Maybe.
I say yes.
I suppose they sent sort of thing. The ones who wouldn't not die beforehand and...
Bless you. Won't you have one?
I don't drink much anymore. It made their powers seem stronger. You know, to curse was one thing. To save someone from your own curse was considered tremendous.
Hmm.
They had the ceremony.
Where does the brother of this hoodlum come into it?
At the ceremony, Makara relinquished his hold over Charles. The Bwana Woodley would be allowed to live. But he must never again hurt the sacred ones, you know, those sort of things. A lot of bone shaking and a bit of wailing. And then the pronouncement was made again, and then it happened.
What?
Makara dropped down dead.
What?
Just dropped down dead. I don't know why. There was no other doctor, no real one near. He was buried within a few hours, and no one could find out anything. Abdullah, the brother, went mad then. He cursed Charles and you. You see, Charles had told publicly about his curse on the car. I don't know why. Maybe he wanted to save face, too. Perhaps he thought that way he might have got the witch doctors to lift the one on him. I don't know. It was all so stupid. And, well, it was frightening, too. And he lived in Africa for a long, long time. Well, Charles tried to get a European doctor to look at Makara, but they buried him too soon and wouldn't say where. He talked with Abdullah. I don't know what they said. Charles would never tell me, but from then on he's been really frightened.
That's right.
Charles?
Well, it's about time you got up, man. Are you taking me out to see your bush buck today?
I'd better, hadn't I? You've come a long way. Could you stay till next month? I'd like you to take Sylvia back, if you will.
Will you stop being a fool, man? Leave by all means, but let's go now.
Where's a bit of a mess, Sylvia? Had this tank blow up. You should never have written to him.
Ah, shut up, Charles Woodley.
Please. I'm going out. No, I don't want either of you to come with me.
During the next 2 weeks, life on the mountain limped along, with the three of them vainly trying to recapture something of the pleasures they had once known in one another's company. The doctor was never seen without his thick flannel shirt buttoned up to the collar and down to each wrist. The Scot's body was full of metal fragments, and sooner or later, one would touch the heart. The man for whom death was inevitable was quite cheerful. He was resigned. So was Woodley. But a constant, sick fear was his companion. There was nothing visibly wrong with him, no disease, no wound. And yet he had drawn up a will, settled his affairs, and had asked Ray Park to take his wife back to the coast in Tanganyika when it happened. There were brief moments, though, when he seemed absorbed, seemed to forget.
There. Female. Like the cooter, see? Oh, Malachi. They usually lie well hidden in the daytime.
See the little stiff hairs running along the neck and over the withers.
Ah, beautiful. I can understand your devotion to this animal. And your living away up here.
What is it?
Just the old business.
Couple of crocs, aren't we?
We are not a couple of crocs. We are one croc and one perfectly healthy man. Charlie, take my advice, will you? Get to the coast. You may pick up a ship for Europe within a month or so. Go down to South Africa. Anywhere. South Africa especially. They say you'd think in Durban there was never a war anywhere. Do that. And leave what you can here at your house. I'll take care of it for you. For as long as I can. Ah, this'll do me, I reckon, up here. Although the heather's a good bit different from the Scottish heather I remember as a boy.
I'm not leaving here.
You've a son in Dar es Salaam. You have no right
to... I shouldn't see Clive again.
Take Sylvia to Dar. Take her and Clive to South Africa. You can get down the mountain easily within the next week. The rains, you said yourself, aren't due for
You're forgetting something, Ray. It's the 10th of June. I've only 7 more days to live.
May I be given strength from somewhere? There is nothing wrong with you. How on earth can I make you believe this? Charlie, what the devil can kill you on the 17th of June up here?
An elephant?
Elephant? There are no elephants here. There never have been, not for hundreds of years. There's no elephant up here.
There will be. On the 17th.
Came the night of the 12th. The two men sat up late, talking, arguing, sometimes angrily. Woodley talked like a man who was going to die. Even the doctor had to admit that. But he admitted it to himself, not to Woodley. They drank a lot of whiskey, and in the early hours of the 13th, Raymond Park said what he'd been thinking for several days.
Can curses be transferred?
What?
I said, can curses be transferred?
Transferred?
Only I was thinking, you see, I'm an awful mess from my personal entanglement with old Rommel the Fox. I've more metal in my body than was in the tank I blew up with, you see. If I showed you my chest, you'd die of fright. So I'll not do that. I'd hate to aid in Kara. I like it up here. It's beautiful. I've no family. You have. I'm a very unsuperstitious man. I always have been. But just this once, all right. I believe you're going to die unless something or someone intervenes. I'm not one for a witch doctor's mumbo-jumbo normally, but I have seen members of the darker races abandon themselves to death. And now I have to admit I've seen a European bent on doing the same. I accept. I see death written all over your face. I see it in your eyes.
I've convinced you, then. No more calling me a fool. No more...
Hand me M'Kara's curse. I'll take the lease over. You leave tomorrow, the day after. Go to Dar, then South Africa.
You're talking nonsense. Do you think I would, even if I could, do a thing like that? It'd be murder.
Listen, you killed M'Kara.
Coincidence, and anyway, it probably worked in reverse. The death wish was put into him. I didn't know.
I've always been told that a witch doctor can't be cursed back, only by a very strong medicine. Now do as I say.
Work? How could it work?
Say what you did to M'Kara. And say that by all the history and power of the early alchemists, you transfer the curse to me.
Please, Ray, for heaven's sake, have you gone...
Do what I tell you. Or by thunder, I'll kill you right here.
On the 15th of June, Charles and Sylvia Woodley left the Ethiopian mountain retreat, abandoning it to Raymond Park. The woman left her mountain home broken-hearted. She knew nothing of the conversation of the 13th. Nothing of the passing on of M'Kara's curse. She merely came to the conclusion that Charles had, by an effort of will, at the very last moment, defeated death. They had flown to Uganda, and on the night of the 17th, they were to be found, both of them, in Masindi, east of Lake Albert. Woodley himself was in the highest of spirits.
3 days in Dar. Clive, God bless him. Good luck, South Africa.
Union, a new life.
A new life. John. Charles?
They said it was a heart attack. Woodley was dead. 4 years, 11 months, 29 days, and 8 hours after M'Kara had originally cursed him. But the thing that terrified Sylvia Woodley, when a month later she returned to a mountain home in Ethiopia to tell Raymond Park, was not the doctor's absence, but the state of the cabin and their garden and the surrounding hillside. It was trampled, flattened. One side of the cabin was shattered. Trees had been uprooted. The flower beds, with the onslaught of the rains, were seas of mud. And everywhere was the spoor of the largest bull elephant ever known.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotech. The new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McKay.